And we're live, episode 9.
999.
Yes, of Read Between the Lines. I'm your boy Daniel. We got you
right here. Q, right here, Read Between the Lines, episode 9.
Yeah, man.
It's going down, going down.
Yes, sir. So what's been happening, man? How's your week going?
It's been a pretty good week. It's really been a great week. Today's Thursday.
Yeah,
for you. Almost the weekend.
Yeah, almost the weekend.
Which I have to work, but still, I'm just excited.
Yeah, me too. But if you guys are watching us online, you're probably seeing us kind of have this, like, you know, rickety setup here. We're going to get a new table so we don't have to kind of hang on to these like this.
Hey.
We didn't get around to it, but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
But yeah, man, it's a lot of stories that have been going on this past week or so, and we're going to get right to them. And first story I want to cover with you guys today was the story that I saw online about Fat Joe talking about Chris Brown. And let me just read what this news article was talking about. So Fat Joe believes that if Chris Brown had not assaulted Rihanna in 2009, he would have been considered on the same level as Michael Jackson. During an Instagram live session, Fat Joe praised Chris Brown's talent, calling him the most talented artist of their time and suggesting it is time to move past his legal issues. Despite Brown's troubled past, including multiple legal incidents, Fat Joe insists his body of work deserves recognition comparable to Jackson. So yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting take from Fat Joe. And what do you think? Do you think if Chris Brown hadn't assaulted Rihanna, we'd be talking about Chris Brown the same level as Michael Jackson?
That's some big shoes to fill.
Very big shoes.
So that I think Chris Brown is big regardless whether it's with Michael Jackson's shoes or not, but I do see where he's coming from. If that incident have not happened with Rihanna and him, but the thing is that happened what, at least 15 years ago,
2009. I mean, yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. So the past is the past. Let it go. You know,
but you know, it's kind of like those things like 2009, even though it's a long time ago, it don't feel that long ago. I mean,
right.
I mean, I feel like, you know, 1997 when I graduated high school was just the other day.
Yeah.
And that's almost 30 years ago. Yeah. It's crazy.
Don't tell nobody else that again. But, yeah, I mean, the incident that happened with him and Rihanna, that was so long ago. And my thing is, give that man his flowers. Let him be. Like, he's doing his thing. His tour is selling out everywhere. So he's... you got these chicks paying $1,100 to take a picture with him.
He's grabbing booties.
Yeah, and you causing controversy and everything in the household over a photo.
Yeah, if you guys didn't catch our take on that, go ahead and listen to the episode last week. We kind of went over that a little bit. But I don't think, even if that hadn't happened with Rihanna, I don't think he touches Michael Jackson at all. I mean, people said the same thing, for example, about Usher, for example, that Usher was like the next sort of Michael Jackson of his time because of the moves.
I never heard that.
Man, you could see the comparisons, the way he dances. I mean, you could see Usher's influence, Michael Jackson's influence in Usher. And a lot of people compared him to Michael because of his moves.
Right.
He could sing, dance. He was an entertainer. And as great as Usher's been, he never came close to the level that that Michael did. And the same thing I think would have been with Chris Brown. I think he would have still done very well, and he's still doing good despite everything. But I don't know, man. Michael just crossed so many levels. I mean, he was just this international phenomenon that.
Yeah.
I just don't know that anyone, the only person that I can think of nowadays, which is crazy, that could be potentially on that level.
Justin Bieber?
No, not even. Taylor Swift, bro. She's the only one right now that I could see could potentially get on that level just because of how popular she is around the globe, not just here. But even her, I don't think it's comparable just because of all the hits that mm-hmm. Michael Jackson had and all the number ones and all of that. But, I mean, Chris Brown, I definitely think for most people, that incident with Rihanna, they've kind of moved on.
Yeah.
Part of what made it so bad was the fact that, you know, we saw pictures of her and
yeah,
that really stuck in people's minds.
Yeah. I think when people still look at Rihanna, they still see that photo.
Oh, man, yeah. And
I think that really, really got a stamp on her for the situation, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure Chris Brown has, you know, grown from that situation. I mean, heck, he's got a daughter of his own right now. Yeah. And so
what do you think should happen? What do you think would be good to see?
As far as what?
As far as Rihanna and Chris Brown.
You mean like a collaboration?
I think a collaboration would be hot.
That ain't happening.
That's the whole point. People think it won't happen. But I think in order to get past this incident that people keep bringing up the past, because one thing about social media, about people, they always want to bring up the past. They won't let it go. So my thing is, it will be awesome. Now, I'm not saying that it will happen, but I think it would be great if they did some type of a collaboration of something, because I'm pretty sure he feels bad about it. And he was much younger back then.
Well, do you think she's over it? Do you think she's like moved on and like forgave him and all that?
I think she's moved on. I don't know if she forgave him, but she didn't tell me personally that she moved on and she forgave him. But I do think at some point she's gained a whole lot. Like this chick is. She got Fendi. I mean, she got her own child now. And so she's actually moved on. I think it'd be great for society to see that some type of collaboration that would happen would be, it would be, bro, could you not imagine if they did that together? That would be huge.
I mean, that, you know, that might break the internet for one day, you know?
Might be for 2 days, I would think.
Yeah.
Because both of those are two big people, and people love Riri and they love Chris Brown. They love Breezy. So in order for them to come together just for a track,
yeah,
that would make history. Because I really, 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 really hope that they would consider. Maybe if their manager, maybe I should reach out to Rihanna's manager and just push that idea. And just say, look, we need some positivity in the world. And just to show these two artists can come together and put aside their differences and showing love and showing forgiveness, period. That you can move on and move forward, because both of them are successful. Both of them, no,
yeah,
ain't none of them missed a beat.
Yeah, and it. But do you think a lot of people that hated Chris Brown for that situation, they're gonna be on board?
I don't know about the part being on board, but they hated that situation because people love Riri.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I'm not sure they'd be on board, but I think it'd be a great thing to see. I mean, if you want to put some on social media, you put everything else. Let's put that on social media.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. I mean, it sounds great in theory. And, you know, it would be something to see for sure. But I just don't know in this stage in her life, you know, being a mother already, you know, with ASAP, Rocky and all that, that she's even interested in that at all.
Yeah.
But it would be a great publicity, not necessarily a publicity stunt, but great marketing for sure. But again, it's Rihanna. I don't think she needs it. So
yeah.
It's one of those things that, you know, pie in the sky. I feel like that would be a great thing for sure. But I doubt Chris Bridges is going to be her album next. It'd be crazy if he makes it somehow in some random cut. In the album. Any other thoughts on that?
No, not really. I just think at some point, they're going to cross paths. You know, he got music out. He got new stuff coming out. She got new music coming out pretty soon. So they're going to be at some award show together. So could you imagine you just being in the room when both of them come and you got Chris Breeze on the left, you got Rivi on the right, and they walking towards each other. Like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
So anyway. But you tell me what you guys think. Wouldn't you like to see some type of conversation or a picture? I mean, it ain't got to be a collaboration. Just a picture of, like, a forgiveness or, like him admitting the fact what he did was wrong and this is my apology. And she just hugged him. That's it. I hugged it out. Or it don't have to be, no, oh, I'm sorry, Rihanna, for doing this to you. Will you please forgive me? No, it could be just a simple picture, you know.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great.
But just to kind of bring it back, do you agree with Fat Joe that he was on? He could have been on MJ's level? I don't, but.
No.
MJ was special.
Now. Honestly, I don't think there's nobody going to be on Michael Jackson's level.
Yeah, that's going to be a while.
They may not even been born yet.
Yeah.
And Michael Jackson or Whitney Houston. There's two. Those are only two I know that I don't think nobody's on their level as far as just performance wise.
Yeah. Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah, for sure. Moving on. This next story comes out of Atlanta. For those of you that follow the Real Housewives franchise, we got a story about Kenya Moore. And this story is about Kenya Moore being suspended from the Real Housewives of Atlanta. And basically, they say that she's being suspended indefinitely from filming. And this is following a chaotic incident involving fellow cast member Brittany Eddy. Reports claim the altercation included threats of gun violence and accusations of revenge porn. Interesting. Both Moore and Eddy had addressed the rumors on social media, with Moore urging fans to wait for the truth to come out in season 16, while Eddy condemned bullying and revenge porn. Are you familiar with the story and what's been going on? I mean, I've kind of heard bits and pieces, but I wanted to get your take on what you know about this. And
from my understanding, I feel like it was Kenya Moore's having a grand opening at her spa. And she invited all the cast to come out and support her at an event. Now, what gets confusing to me is that I don't know what happened for her to... Well, I don't know what happened with Kenya and Eddie to get to this point. Must be something behind the scenes before taping her to tape porn or clips of her giving inflatio or something...
Fellatio?
Yeah, fellatio to a guy. I mean, I don't know what happened, but I don't know what happened behind the scenes for her to do this. Now, from my understanding, they saying Kenya didn't do it. She said she didn't do it.
Well, from what I've heard is that, yeah, she was having a grand opening over salon.
For the third time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And apparently, in there, she was showing she was showing people there photos or something, right, of Eddie. I don't know if it was like some naked pictures or stuff like that. And apparently the show had the film crew there and they were filming, obviously, for the show. So they were filming the grand opening. And during that opening, she was showing people allegedly pictures of Brittany, I guess, naked or something, or maybe doing some kind of lewd act. But she tries to say that, you know, she wasn't doing anything inappropriate. But obviously, the filmmakers, the producers that were there, they must have seen something in the footage, because obviously she's being suspended indefinitely. Right. Now, Kenya, for her part, I think she was claiming that Britney was threatening her, like making some kind of like threats about maybe shooting her or like using some kind of gun. And then Britney tried to say that, nah, I wasn't, you know, I don't even own a gun. I'm not the violent type, this and that.
Man, so, this is Zeus Network.
I mean, it's obviously they're building this drama up for sure for the season, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's all they're doing.
And maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I know that Kenya Moore's been around for a long time as part of that show. I haven't kept up with that show in a while, ever since what was her name left? Nene.
Nene.
When Nene left, it just wasn't really the same for me.
Yeah. When Nene left, I left.
Oh, yeah? You left too?
Nene was she was the GOAT, man. She brought it. So.
Yeah.
And she was part of the original cast. And so, but Kenya, honestly, I think Kenya had it coming. Like, from the years that I watched, I seen her do numerous of things to different castmates. Like
She's
very catty, very shady. She's always getting involved in something. She's always very opinionated, going off the mouth, which is pretty good for good TV, I will say. But you got to be careful because karma can come back. And I think at this point, I think karma is trying to come back to her because a lot of stuff she used to get away with. Even the incident with her Porsche at the reunion when she had a scepter yelling in front of her face, that situation, bringing a three-person band to Marlo's event where Marlo was, like, launching her hair care. In the middle of her lunch, she's coming in the door with a daggone band to my Kenya Moore hair care. So she did a lot of things to a lot of people.
Yeah, I miss
in
this
the past. Thing. Yeah, she's done some dirt. And I think at this point, and this is just me, this is my opinion. You guys can give your opinion as well. But I feel like the cast is getting to the point, or the producer is getting to the point now, bullying is very big. And people are getting bullied so much on these shows, and it's not a good take to keep showing these things. These people keep doing this thing to people and get by with it. It's not fair. So they have to draw the line somewhere. And then Kenya is getting up in age, so... And they're trying to keep it young and classy, I think. And this stuff doesn't look good for the show. And it could bring views because, from my understanding, Atlanta been suffering as far as, like, getting their numbers and getting their ratings. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, they've been low. We get more ratings than they do.
Well, that's saying a lot.
That's saying a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean she's up there. I think she's like 54. I think
she's up in the 50s. But she's a sweet person. But a lot of things she do is uncalled for, and I think this is catching up with her. And I think that the company is finally getting to the point. Think, okay, we can't continue to keep doing this because if they continue to keep letting it slide, I think she feels like she's on this platform. She could do no wrong.
Yeah, and now, you know, we live in this society that everything is, like, you know, super sensitive.
Yes.
There's so much hypersensitivity that
it's bullying.
Anything that you say or do can come across, you know, some type of way that people feel hurt. Now,
right.
I'm not saying what she did was right, because I don't really know what she did. But if what they're claiming is true, then I guess it's legitimate what they decided to do. And I guess in the end, it'll draw in people to season 16, I guess, to see what the big hoopla was about.
16?
Yeah, but I think they'll bring her back. I think they're just trying to, like, you know, what's the word? I mean, they're just trying to, like, you know, appease people because of the situation, but eventually she'll come back. She's part of the reason, you know, the show has been running as long as it has been. Granted, it may not be as good as ratings as before, but she's definitely been a part of it for a while. But yeah, so moving on, I got this like crazy story, And do you guys know Tank? Are you familiar with Tank, the R&B singer?
Yes.
So R&B singer Tank ignited a conversation on social media regarding sexuality after appearing on the Angela Yee show Lip Service. During the discussion, Tank suggested that a man performing oral sex on another man twice does not necessarily make him gay. He elaborated that experimentation does not define one's sexual orientation, which he describes as a continuous state of being. Tank's comments received mixed reactions. Some people applaud him, and then others were very questioning his whole perspective. So, do you agree with Tank? Now, first of all, have you watched that clip or seen that clip on Angela Yee's?
I've seen that clip. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people saying different things about it, but what was your take on Tank's view on that?
I think he should have kept that comment to himself. Okay. If he felt that way, if that's your opinion, which everybody is entitled to their own opinion.
Do you think he's gay?
No, I don't think he's gay. I think maybe he could be bicurious. Huh? Which means, because what if he tried it and he actually liked it? So I'm just being real. Like, what if he wants to experiment and say, for the first or second time, and say, okay, okay, that's not so bad, and say, you know what? Okay, let me just not put this in the back of my mind. Actually, put it in the front of my mind, thinking, okay, cool. So, which that's his prerogative. That had nothing to do with me at all. But I just feel like that type of a conversation or that type of a comment, just keep it to yourself, bro.
Well, I'm not sure how the conversation came up, but I think they must have been talking about it in some
instance. It don't matter what they're talking about. You still don't know how to keep, still learn to keep your coming to yourself, unless you're doing this just for clickbait. Now, if you're just saying this to get views and noise, keep yourself relevant, people are going to start talking about you, then go for it. And guess what? We now sitting here on Thursday show talking about Tank.
Yeah, which I wasn't planning on talking about Tank at all, probably for the next year.
Two. but what do you think?
Nah, man. If a man does that once, he's clearly gay. If he does it twice, he's gay.
Yeah, he's thinking about it.
The thing about it is, like, there's if a man is actually thinking about going through with that and actually goes through with it, then there's no doubt in my mind that they gotta be gay. Because if you're a straight man, that is the last thing you would do, or even think about doing, much less a second time around.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is that, you know, he tried to say that they're not gay or whatever. Well, let's see if he was to do that, or if a guy was to do that, and then try to date a girl. And he told the girl that he did that a couple of times, but he's not really gay. I guarantee you that girl's not going to call him again.
No, she's not.
Because girls know, okay, you did that. You're definitely gay, or at the very least bisexual. And most straight women that want to be with a man, they don't get down like that. So I know it's kind of different with women and experimenting with other women, and that doesn't necessarily make you gay and lesbian. Like, it's different, because when a guy goes down that road,
there's no coming back.
There's no coming back.
That's it. Like,
so I don't agree with Tank at all.
It's one thing to hear that a woman had a one night stand with another woman, and you hear that, honestly, a good bit. Like, you always hearing how women just experiment and nothing
like
said.
I experimented in college or whatever.
But if you hear you at work and you doing your job, and then the guy across from the desk say, "Oh yeah, oh, me and the bro went out and we got some drinks and we we got back to the room and we had Netflix and chill, and you know, he swallowed. So could you imagine?
Yeah, no.
What would it be, the intake, the look of people's faces, like, what? What'd you just say? Like sound effects, like, yeah. You know, back it up. What'd you just say? But it's one thing when a woman says, it's like, oh, okay, great.
Yeah, you don't
but
even
we hear two
it.
Guys, like, what? Like, what are you thinking? Like, what's going through your mind? So my thing is, for him to make that comment, everything starts with the mind. And that's why it's so important about the eye gate and the ear gate. You have to guard your heart, guard your mind, guard your ears at all the time, because he had to see something or saw some TV show maybe that enticed his thought, like a commercial for a restaurant. You know, you don't want no fast food until you see some kind of funky commercial and thinking, oh, man, that's a new donuts coming out or that's something new, fresh. I might want to try that one day.
So you're saying he was like watching gay porn or something?
And allegedly, I didn't say that. Now, you said that. I'm just saying he probably saw a clip, or maybe somebody would have sent him something, or maybe he probably got a close friend that just goes both ways and had a serious talk, and the guy got into his head, and then it said, okay, you might be on to something, because he felt like maybe men is less problematic than women is, and just no feelings attached. You just go home, you know, that's it. But anyway, I don't know. It's better him than me, put it that way.
Yeah. You know, Tank, if you want to come out, that's cool. Like, you know, I'm sure people are still going to love your music. Yeah. But yeah.
It's probably the reason why they call him Tank. Anyway.
Got some sugar in the tank.
Ooh.
But before I move on to the next story, I just want to give a shout out to all the listeners, all the people that have been downloading the episodes, and then all the people commenting,
yes,
online and stuff like that.
We love y'all.
Yeah, I've been seeing some, you know, some people, you know, that have been listening to us from Germany, like all over the US, even as far as Australia. So shout out to all you people out there.
We see you.
Yeah. Paying attention to us, you know, for the little things that we talk about here.
That's right.
But moving on. So we got a story about Justin Timberlake. So apparently Justin Timberlake was arrested in Long Island for driving while intoxicated. Now, he claims to have had just one martini at a bar. However, when he got pulled over, he failed his sobriety test. And he further refused a chemical test. He was released without bail, and he's scheduled to appear in court on July 26. Timberlake's lawyer plans to vigorously defend him. But despite the arrest, Timberlake is set to continue his Forget Tomorrow World Tour, with upcoming shows in Chicago and New York City. His wife, Jessica Biel, remains supportive, though the incident adds to recent controversies surrounding Timberlake. What did you think when you heard this story? And have you ever been pulled over drunk and gotten DUI too?
That would be a hard no.
Okay.
No, but as far as Justin Timberlake, I think he was just having a good time. And had maybe one or two, sounds like he had more than just one, and probably just felt like he can use his fame,
his star power,
yeah, to get off. And the guy, whoever he pulled him over, a female who pulled him over, was not having it. The law is the law. You know, if you fail sobriety, I have to do my job, which I'm not mad at that person for doing it, because he could have had an accident. And yeah, things could have went worse, and we'd be sitting here talking about the shoulda, couldas, and wouldas, and rest in peace. So I'm glad that the officer did pull him over, and if he failed, he failed. So shame on Justin Timberlake. That's his fault. But again, it is what it is.
Did you see the mugshot?
I did.
Yeah, I did. So there've been like some memes and stuff going around. But yeah, I mean, you could see his eyes are clearly bloodshot. So the fact that one martini is gonna do that? Yeah, I don't know.
Unless he saw somebody at the bar, he was taking some other things, substance, and it mixed in with the drinks and made him start feeling some type of way.
So. Now, I mean, I've heard some random rumors that he might have been doing other stuff, but
yeah,
I don't know, because apparently he didn't do any kind of chemical testing, which means they would have, I guess, taken you to the hospital and done some blood work, but I guess he refused that, so they just took him to jail. But yeah, like you said, I mean, it's very fortunate that no one got harmed, no one got hurt,
right?
Because that's the other thing, you know, drinking and driving, you're potentially putting someone else at risk.
Danger, yeah.
And Justin, you know, Timberlake of all people to be involved in that, it would have been crazy.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny that when he got pulled over, he told the officer, apparently the officer didn't know who he was. And he told the officer, man, but this is gonna ruin the world tour. And he was, the officer was like, what tour? Because he had no clue who he was.
But honestly, now that you say that, if the officer knew who he was, they might have cut him some slack. They might have said, you know what? I understand you was having a good time tonight. You was just getting some downtime from your world tour. How about we just, like, if it was me, I'd be like, look, let me just take you to somewhere, call somebody. You know, you come and pick your car up the next day, da-da-da-da, move on, get a selfie, picture. You know, if I was a fan, but clearly the guy didn't know who he was. Yeah. So he probably like, who are you? He probably thought he was some random guy driving some fancy car. I knew he had to be driving something nice.
Yeah. Well, I think it was an SUV, but I don't know what kind of SUV it was. But to that point, though, like, because he's Justin Timberlake and the officer happens to know who that is, do you think he deserves preferential treatment in that way?
No.
Okay. Well, that's what you were saying. That could have happened.
But I'm saying that could have happened, but I don't think, like I said, if it was me, if I was the cop and I pulled him over and you didn't pass, I probably
you would have let them, you would let the man go.
If I was a fan, I like his music.
Let me ask you this. If they would have pulled over Nicki Minaj and you were the cop, do you take her to jail because she's drunk, or do you like have her call somebody and let her go?
I would have to call somebody and let her go.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I would let, yeah. Because I know she's probably going through some things.
I mean, that could have been anybody going through some things.
That could be, but they're not them. This is Nicki Minaj.
So okay, so
if that was Nicki Minaj and I pulled her over and she was drunk and she could even get her words together to say who she was, but I knew who she was, I would probably call somebody, her agent or somebody, look, this chick is out here and just to help out, because I think she would really appreciate that, because now if I don't, she's going to be on social media the next day. She's
but that's not awful. Your fault. That's her fault for
it's
being
not,
drunk.
But I would feel better, and I think she probably never forget me. And she maybe give me some free tickets to her show.
Well, that goes to show you then the power of celebrity, because like if you're willing to cut her that much slack and think of her safety and what the media is going to do and say about her the next day, I mean, you could argue and say, hell, she should have thought about that herself before she started driving.
She should have. But
the fact that now you're going to do it and you got to bail her out at the end of the day, like, I don't know. I feel like it's, and who's to say that most people wouldn't do that too, if they knew who the celebrity was. And that goes to show you the power of celebrity when it comes to situations like that and the preferential treatment that they get in all kinds of things, not just necessarily this, but.
What would you do, Daniel?
If it was like somebody I admired or whatever, to be honest, man, like I feel like what I would hope I would do in that situation.
Keyword hope. Okay.
Is the right thing.
The right thing.
Because God forbid that I let it go and the behavior continues. And let's say 6 months down the road, he or she does it again, and next time they do kill somebody or whatever, they never learned their lesson because they kept getting a pass every single time, including one from me. So I would hope that I would do the right thing and not be blinded by the whole celebrity thing, because at the end of the day, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong. And sometimes the problem with a lot of these celebrities is that they never get told no. They never get told, you got to stop this, you got to stop that. They're surrounded by a bunch of yes people, and that creates a lot of the problems they end up with. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like I would try to be fair in that situation. Now, they were like speeding, you know, like 15 over, like, okay, all right, well, you know, slow it down, you know, go home. But if they're clearly up here, you know, drunk and they don't pass the sobriety test, I would hope that I would do the right thing, even if I know who they were. I mean, that's just me. But I'm not saying that that there's you're wrong one way or the other.
Right.
But it does speak to the amount of power that celebrities can have sometimes.
Yeah.
And just for the record, I've never had a DUI myself. I will admit that I have had I have driven, you know, a little tipsy, and I probably shouldn't have, but it is what it is. So I can see when no one's perfect, but had I been pulled over and something happened, then, you know, I would have to just live with those consequences and learn my lesson, but thankfully nothing did. So, and you don't really drink like that anyway.
No, sir. No, sir.
But moving on to the next story. So, I don't know why we keep talking about this lady when she ain't got, when she ain't even got anything going on. But I do find this interesting, and maybe this will help her. And this story is about Jennifer Lopez. And Jennifer Lopez was advised to move to Nashville and release a country album to help revive her career. Mm. And this was suggested by someone named John Peters, who used to be a producer. Or actually, he helped produce one of her movies, Money Train. And he suggested that if she was to move to Nashville and potentially get support from other established country artists like Shania Twain, they think that he thinks that this would help bring back her career. And he was also willing to fund her relocation to Nashville to help her in that regard. But do you actually think that if J-Lo was to go country, that would be a good move for her?
I think absolutely not.
Yeah, no.
She need, at this point, regardless whether she moves to Nashville or not, she still has a career. She's been successful all her life. I mean, she got numerous of music out there, top hits. So be happy with what you have, you know. And I think at this point, maybe she should focus on fashion. Because one thing about J-Lo, she's going to give you a look. Like, she's a beautiful woman. Her attitude sucks, but as far as her looks and fashion, she got that down point. So I think she should focus on maybe fashion, or maybe on, like, when she did The World of Dance, that TV show, that was a hit. Like, everybody loved that show. I think she did maybe like 3 or 4 seasons.
What is it, like?
World of Dance. It was her, Neo, these people come across the world and compete in dancing.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't watch that.
Oh, man, that was a bad show. Like, she had the Lay Twins on there, and it was pretty good. And I think she should focus on things like that. But as far as music, no, let it go, sweetheart. Let it go. And moving to Nashville, I think she just desperate. I think it makes her look even more desperate than what she already is. So moving to Nashville is not going to make it even better. It's going to make it even worse.
Well, just because Beyonce did it doesn't mean everyone else can do it. And, you know, and even Beyonce coming out with that quote unquote country album, even though I listened to it and it wasn't, it has some like kind of country twang in it, but it wasn't
a Beyonce album, not a country album.
Well, I mean, it was marketed.
That's what she said. She said that this is a Beyonce album. They marketed it as a country album, but she said this is a Beyonce album, which means it's going to go from this sound, hip-hop, R&B, little country, little sad, girl power. It's a Beyonce album. Yeah. And to be honest, speaking of Beyonce, Beyonce been country. Like, she been country because she's from Houston, Texas. So her coming out as an album being country inspired, that's who she comes from. Like, if you go back and look at her music, look at her style, look at her fashion, look at her clothing line, it all comes together. It makes sense. Even the Ivy Park, if you look at all her clothing line, it has a country side feel to it. So it makes sense.
Nah, I never got that, but...
Yeah, go back and look at her stuff. Look at all her clothes and all her fashion stuff. And she's been working this country album for years. Country-inspired album for years, and she just not putting it out now.
And, you know, I mean...
That J-Lo?
But even to that album, like, I don't know. I mean, she had that one song that everyone was making reels and stuff about.
16 Carriages.
Maybe that's the one that... I don't remember exactly.
16 Carriages.
No, it was another one. Yeah. It was the other one. You Texas Hold'em. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. People were making a bunch of reels with that.
Texas.
Yeah, that one. But other than those two songs, I haven't really heard much about the album or that much acclaim. And we're talking about Beyonce. Now, someone like J-Lo to try to get in that lane, which, you know, first of all, she doesn't even have that twang.
No.
At all. I can see maybe Beyonce pulling that twang because being from the South. But J-Lo, no, I don't see a country album, you know, saving her at all. In fact, to your point, I think she probably should concentrate on other things, just be more behind the scenes, maybe.
Not behind the scenes.
No, I'm saying like, okay, or maybe just do like her acting, or like when I say behind the scenes, I mean like executive producing or stuff like that. Yeah. But I mean, she's in her 50s, and I think, you know, at this point in her life, I don't know that her albums are going to garnish the type of attention that she thinks they will, because the majority of consumers that buy music is young people. Mm-hmm. And young people are the ones that buy the albums, do the streams, and do all this stuff. And when you're in your 50s, you're catering to a whole different demographic,
right,
that they're not necessarily going to do all that the same way. And
that's true.
And
I agree.
And the type of sounds that are, you know, quote unquote popular now, for someone like her to try to do, it would just sound whack.
She doesn't have the voice for that.
And plus, she doesn't have the voice either. So,
if she do anything as far as music, it need to be a Spanish album. I could see her going back to her roots and doing some type of Spanish album. That would be hot, because she has that in her. And I could see her with, you know, with Bad Bunny or so many different artists can help really, you know, help sharpen her up a little bit and just do a Spanish album.
Yeah. Someone that's actually kind of, well, I mean, obviously I think she's like 10 years younger than J-Lo, but someone that's kind of being able to kind of ride that wave and still be able to stay relevant as far as the music is concerned is Shakira.
Yeah.
Now, granted, she's, to your point, she's kind of stayed in her Spanish lane. Now, she did have one album, an English album years ago, but she always kind of stayed with the Spanish music, and she's kind of diversified her sound. You know, I remember listening to her when she first came out. She was very like rock, kind of indie sound. And then as the years went by, she's become more like more pop, more reggaeton, like just that sort of sound. And she's even embracing some of that sound from like, you know, Peso Pluma and that sort of Mexican banda sound. So she's kind of reinvented herself and kind of kept herself relevant throughout the years, but she's done so in the Spanish realm, where I think for a lot of artists, especially in Spanish culture, you tend to kind of last longer, especially if you're good. Mm-hmm. So to your point about her going Spanish, like it may or may not work just because that hasn't been her space this whole time. She's done a few things in Spanish, but that hasn't been like her lane all these years. So people can probably would gravitate to her, but they may not, just depending on what exactly she puts out. And since she came out from more of a R&B pop sound, I don't know if that's a sound that Spanish people care about. They care about more about like the reggaeton, the more like salsa, merengue, which she can probably do some of that too. But I just feel like she probably should work on other things, because I think when it comes to music, yeah, that might be it.
But J-Lo, sweetheart, at this point, find the local Publix grocery store and get a job.
Man, stop it. Man, she's got more money that she don't even know what to do with. In fact, right now, I think she's in Italy vacationing. While she left Ben Affleck back at home in California. So obviously
marriage problems. Okay.
Obviously there's something going on there.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're not together. So
he knows she's crazy.
Yeah.
He knows she's crazy.
And I don't understand why he went back to her though. That's the part
that's the thing about her. She has something about her that draws him in. Like I said, she's a beautiful woman. She has style. I think what messes her up is her attitude and the way she's conceited. And I think Ben probably tried to tell her about herself and thought this time he can go in a relationship and try to fix her, but it didn't work. And it's my opinion.
Well, I feel like Ben Affleck...
I'm just reading between the lines, okay?
Well, I think that Ben Affleck probably was like, you know what? You know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you, because I'm not doing it. You know, peace out. And maybe that's what it is.
It's a war.
It's a war? War?
Yeah.
What you mean, a war with her?
Yeah. Every relationship she gets with, it does not last. I think the only one she had that lasted longer was Mark Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, well, who did she have the two kids with? Was it with him or somebody else?
I think it was Mark Anthony.
Yeah, they ended up having twins, if I'm not mistaken.
Rocco and Mo. Rock and Mo or something like that. Or they might be Mariah Carey's twins.
No, I mean, well, Mariah Carey has twins too.
And they ain't Rock and Mo or something like that.
Well, I don't know the names.
See, that's why we need Wendy Williams.
Man, come on. We got you.
If you had me, I'd be calling Wendy Williams right now. We know everything. But anyway.
Let's see. What else we got here? So I came across this story and I thought it was kind of funny. And it involves Birdman. For those who don't know who Birdman is, Birdman is a rapper that he started Cash Money Records like back in the 90s, and had a bunch of people in his record label, including, you know, most notably Lil Wayne and who else was in there? The dude that you were just referencing to, Oh man, the Hot Boys. I mean, there's I forget the name of the other guys.
There's a lot of those guys. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys from Louisiana, but obviously he made his millions starting the Cash Money Records and with Lil Wayne and company. But he was in the news recently, and he sparked controversy after a video surfaced showing him discouraging inmates from reading books during a prison visit. When asked about an inmate, when he was asked by an inmate for help in obtaining literature, Birdman responded dismissively, suggesting that reading books wouldn't help them. This incident was captured by Worldstar, and it drew significant criticism on social media, with many people expressing disappointment in Birdman's attitude towards the inmates' request for educational resources. So I don't know if you saw the video, but basically, I'm assuming that Birdman had gone to this prison to offer some kind of services, some kind of help to the inmates. And then some inmate yelled out and said, "Hey man, we need help with, you know, getting some books, some literature in here." And Berman was just like, "Dude, books ain't gonna help you." Like, and then he started to kind of elaborate on saying that, but then the video cut off. So even though he got caught saying books ain't really gonna help you, we don't know what else he was planning on saying after that. But everyone jumped on that statement and saying that was very insensitive and like, "What you mean? You know, they don't need books and stuff like that." Because when you think about it, reading is one of the few positive, constructive things you could probably do while you're in jail. Ain't a whole lot else to do. I mean, at least it helps you kind of escape your situation, you know, kind of use your imagination and go to other places in your mind when you read books. Not to mention that you can learn skills and ways to improve your communication skills, stuff like that, for whenever you get out of jail. So if Birdman really felt that way, like, bro, you're kind of misguided here. But you know, at the same time, I don't know for a fact if that's exactly how he felt, because that video kind of cut off, so we didn't really get a chance to see and listen to him to say that's really what he meant. But when you saw that, you know, what were you thinking?
I think he was about to make a personal, a powerful statement behind that. But like you said, the video cut off, so at this point, we don't know what he's going to say next. So he had to have something powerful or something to that statement of like, why books is not going to help you. So we can't really say what he's going to say next after that. So I'm not sure, but books will help you. If in that situation, I'm pretty sure. I've never been locked up before, but I can imagine that having books to help ease my mind or take me to a place or relaxation in my mind, and it's fundamental that I can just get away, you know, and keep my sanity, you know. So I'm pretty sure the books will help. So I'm pretty sure Birdman was going to make a statement about the books, like, "The books not going to help you if you're going to keep doing da 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 da." So I'm pretty sure it was something he's going to stay behind that. I just don't see him making that statement and saying that's it, you know.
And the thing about it is, like, you know, let's just say for the sake of argument that he really meant that. And he could have been saying it from a place of like, "Look, you know, I made it. I made it out the ghetto. I made it out the streets. You know, I didn't have to read no books. I'm self-made. I was able to create a company, an empire, buy all these houses, cars, you know, help out all these other artists, and I didn't have to read all these books." I mean, I'm not saying that's what he was thinking, but maybe that could have been an angle that he was going for when he said that, if indeed that's what he meant. But the problem is that all these people in jail are not going to have that kind of opportunity.
Right.
And anything that they can gain some kind of foothold when they leave prison, it's gonna be to their advantage. And the only way to do that is going to be probably reading books, because they don't get internet. They don't get stuff like that. So, I mean, so really the best teacher is going to be books. And when I heard the inmate say that on the clip, like, to me, it almost sounded like a starving person, like someone that wanted some food. Like, man, like, I'm hungry.
Right.
That's how that guy sounded to me. Like, this guy was like, he sounded like he was desperate for knowledge. Like, he needed, like, his mind needed something. And that's why he wanted resources for books. So when I saw that, I was like, dang, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's sad. So, I mean, for him to, and I guess when he made that statement, again, we don't know what was said after that, but I can't even imagine how the inmate probably felt. Like, I'm locked up. I don't know how long I got. They saying X amount of years, which I don't know who the inmate was. But could you imagine being in that situation and all you have is books? And then this guy that you actually look up to, that you actually idolize because he's somebody big, and tells you you don't need books. And then what are you supposed to do next? Like, I can't go to the internet. I can't go to the local library. I can't go down and get a job at the market and to help ease my mind. I don't have friends. I don't have family that I can connect, talk to anytime I want to. But you're going to sit here and tell me you don't need books. Then what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Just think off the world, think off my mind, think somewhere by myself. So I think at that point you would need books, you know, just to help take yourself somewhere in your mind, just to help relax yourself. I'll get you through the day, you know?
Yeah. And to be fair to Birdman, now granted, whatever took him to this prison to begin with, obviously he was trying to be helpful in some kind of way.
Right.
So shout out to Birdman for at least making an effort to go visit these inmates and be of some sort of help to them in whatever capacity he could. But, you know, I guess we'll never know. Maybe he'll put out a statement or something clarifying what that situation was about. But from everything that, you know, social media is putting out there, is, you know, I just feel that even though it came across bad, I just don't know that that's the whole story. But so we just have to kind of go by what we have. So it is what it is. But yeah, man, so I got one last story, and this one I came across because a couple of clips that I saw about Mr. Malcolm Jamal Warner, which, if you guys are not familiar with him, he was the son of Bill Cosby in The Cosby Show. What was his name? Theo?
Theo. I think it was Theo.
Yeah, he was the guy that used to play Theo in The Cosby Show. And let me just read you something that that kind of sparked the conversation not too long ago. And so Malcolm Jamal Warner has sparked the conversation about the excessive use of the N-word and other profanities in hip-hop. On his podcast, Not All Hood, he expressed his frustration with the gratuitous use of these terms in rap lyrics, citing artists like J. Cole, who he stopped listening to due to the frequency of offensive language. He argues that such language has become so common and it has lost its impact, and calls for a moratorium to encourage more creative and thoughtful lyrics. This sentiment echoes broader critiques within the hip-hop community about the direction and values of modern rap music. So this made me think a little bit when I saw the clips where he was talking on the Breakfast Club and even on his own podcast, reflecting on this situation. I don't know if you had a chance to look at those clips and interviews that he did. And do you feel that he's got a point? And where do you think we are right now in terms of hip hop and what it's become or what it is right now?
I see his point. I do. I do see his point. I understand where he's coming from. The profanity, using the N-word throughout your lyrics, you know, and then because this music is a big part of the world. So, and then you got kids, you know, underage kids is downloading this music. Like you said earlier, that most people who download and buy music are teenagers. So you got these kids downloading this music and people are listening to it. They might be 13, they might be 12, they might be 15. They're hearing all these words and they're hearing all this profanity, this language, and it gets into their spirit and then they start saying it because once they deposit into their self, it's going to come out at some point, you know? And so now as they get older and they starting to feel comfortable with the lyrics of this music and these words, and then it could be an incident. You never know, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, growing up in the 90s and, you know, at the height of gangster rap, for example, growing up listening to, you know, people like Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and Tupac and a lot of these rappers that, you know, back then were rapping about a lot of drugs, violence, you know, misogyny. I mean, they were just rapping about all that stuff. And that has never really changed when it came to hip hop. Like, that's always sort of been glorified in the music. And I remember when Puff Daddy came around, or Diddy came around, it kind of started moving away a little bit from the gangster rap that you saw in the 90s, and now you are seeing more of this, like, look at me, I'm in these yachts and all this money and the lavish lifestyle and this and that. So you started seeing some of that. But unfortunately, hip-hop has always had elements of violence, using the N-word, obviously profanity, and a lot of things that you would say are toxic. And I think that some of these things we don't think about when we're young. Obviously, he's older. We're probably around the same age. So now we have a chance to reflect on some of these things, and we can look back, and even now, at some of the things that we're seeing with more wisdom. And I can totally relate to what he's saying, because, like, even now when I listen to certain rap artists and to their music, is like, and they'll be saying the N-word this, and we're, it's kind of cringy. It's like, it's so cringy now to me. And when they start talking about, like, all this negative stuff, like kill this, do that, I mean, it's, I don't know, it just doesn't have that same appeal. And the problem is that to the young people, it can become appealing. And I think that we sort of perpetuate this cycle where you could be hurting the next generation by putting out a lot of negative stuff out there. Now, is hip hop the only type of music out there that has profanity or that has, like, negative messages? No, there's a lot of rap, it's a lot of rock music, like heavy metal stuff that has, like, very negative, dark lyrics that we can speak about, and certainly I wouldn't recommend those either. But when you talk about hip hop and being one of the biggest genres in the world, and when you see how much association it has with negative, toxic things, I think that's what he's alluding to.
Yeah, I think so too. Because some of it, I mean, it's very heavy, very, very heavy, very, very heavy. And there are some you might hear, like the punchline or some type of a lyrics or something that it may say one or two words here and there, and that's it. There's a difference. So I do think he's preferred to, like you said, the, like, every other word is this, every other word is that. And it's like you can't even listen to it on the radio because they're going to beep, beep, beep to the whole song, you know. And then, you know, it's just too much. And I'm about like you, Daniel. Like, I can hear certain songs, and it's, if it's, like, rap, and if it's very, like, hard rap, it just make me feel weird, you know. Because I want to be able to listen to something where if my nieces or nephews walk into the room, I don't have to turn it down. I can just continue to keep listening to it and be fine. Don't have to worry about them saying the words around the house. Or I'm at the red light and there's a nice elderly lady right beside me, and all you hear is N-word this, N-word that. It just, to me, it just makes it feel weird. Like, it just, I'm above that. You know, I grew up out of that. So it's not good teaching to me, is to be having stuff playing like that all the time, you know. Now, if I'm on my headsets, I'm in the gym, working out in my own private time by myself on my ears, I'm not saying it's the best way to listen to it, but if I had to choose to listen to it, it would be that way. That way I won't offend nobody because it's on my own headsets.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's, I mean, I know that we've kind of seen a resurgence of hip-hop, at least the interest of it a lot because of that whole Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef, and there's a lot of people listening to hip-hop nowadays, or at least kind of it's kind of being in the forefront right now. But other than, like, for example, Drake and maybe a couple other people here and there, like the J. Cole's of the world and Kendrick and Jay-Z, every blue moon, like, there really isn't a whole lot of artists out there in the hip-hop world that you like say, wow, you know, they're putting out all this great music out there. Now, maybe there are artists out there that we don't know, that obviously we don't keep up with, because, like, I don't keep up with the little Uzis of the little Uzi Verts of the world. Yeah. But my thing is that I wonder, because even like this new wave of artists in the hip hop world that have came up, like the little Uzi Verts and like the what was the other guy, the one that died, overdose, Juice WRLD, and others like him. A lot of them, they may not be glorifying a lot of violent stuff, but they've been glorifying a lot of drug use, you know. And I think that's another issue, because a lot of them have been dying from also drug overdoses. So I don't know if people are sort of like not listening to hip hop as much in some regards because the quality of artists is just not there. And maybe in part also because people just don't want to listen to a lot of negative stuff. And I wonder, I don't know, but maybe that has something to do with the rise that we've seen over the last few years with like Afro beats and like people getting more into like that genre. Because when you listen to like Afro beats and like African music, it's like, it's definitely more like upbeat and more uplifting. It's more like
the vibe is better.
The vibe is, yeah, like more, it's more about love and romance and like just, you know, a lot of that angle. I don't hear, at least that I've came across in the different Afro beats and artists that I've heard Yeah, it's a different vibe.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people have been kind of gravitating towards that more so lately because of what we've been seeing, a decline in the quality of artists when it comes to hip hop, not to mention like some of that toxic stuff that he was talking about. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think right now, this place we at right now in this world, we need positive energy only, good vibes only. So if the music is the wave to bring in good vibes, I think that would be the way to go. Like, I love Afro beats. I love anything that's going to make me feel good, you know, good energy, get me excited, give me a little pep in my step, you know. I don't want to listen to anything that's going and all I hear is the N-word and all this stuff, and I want to go out here and just hurt somebody. Like, it just bring that spirit, because if you think about it, if you're having a bad day, a very, very bad day, and you got a situation going on in your life or a relationship, and you listen to this certain song that comes on your podcast, and it got this language, and it fuels your fire to the point where, you know, I want to call this person or get on Twitter and rant about how I'm feeling. Well, guess what? It was probably because of the music you were listening to or the company you're keeping. Because same thing with music, same thing with bad company. If you're around somebody and they give you advice and they tell you things to do is not right and it's bad energy, guess what? You're going to feed off of it. So it's the same thing whether it's a person or whether it's music. It's going to feed that energy inside you to the point where you're going to retaliate, whether it's good or bad. Now, I can take myself for example, like I can listen to some like Alpiano, or I can listen to anything that got some upbeat music going to work. Prime example, I feel good. I'm going to have a great day. I heard my song. I got my AirPods going. I'm going inside work. And it doesn't matter what the person going on in front of me or behind me, I already claim the fact that it's going to be a great day because my energy is good, my music is good, and I'm listening to something that's going to feed my spirit. You know, so I feel good. And guess what? 9 times out of 10, I'm going to have a good day. Because of what you're putting inside your spirit. You have to feed your spirit. Something's going to help you grow.
Yeah, and of course, like, you know, for example, like being a dad now, and obviously you got kids in your life.
I have nieces and nephews.
Yeah. Nieces and nephews. Like, you have to be more mindful yes. of these things now yes. more than ever, because like, and that's the thing about it. Like, if, like when he's talking about, like, there ain't no way I'm going to be in the car mm-mm. listening to any type of hip hop artist because of the stuff that's going to come out of their mouth and potentially influence my son. Yeah. So he's got a point in that
yeah.
regard
yeah.
that there isn't any, like, and I hate to say it, but there really isn't any positive language that comes out.
No.
I mean, you could listen to a whole album from Drake or whoever, and you're not really going to find anything on there that's really going to be suitable for kids. But at the same time, you can say that about a lot of different music, not just that. But in terms of the content, it can become very, very toxic. So I get it.
Yeah.
Where he's coming from,
and I respect it.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's one of those things that does come with age, and kind of looking back and trying to sort of, you know, safeguarding and shield the next generation. I mean, he does have a point, but to be honest with you, I don't think that the profanity or the N-word is going to go anywhere anytime soon. As long as it's making money and as long as people are consuming it, it'll still be around. Unless people really said, you know what, I'm done with it. Like, I want to hear more positive things. The market only responds to how people respond to it. So as long as there's money to be made on it, it's going to be out there. And it's just one of those things.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, people, I think that's all we got for today. I just want to give a shout out again to everybody that's been listening. Make sure to share this content with your friends, family. Let them know that we're out here every week putting out content. And so, Mr. Q, do you have anything else for the people?
Thank you guys for tuning in and spread the word. Comment, give us your opinion, feedback. I promise we listening. We see you.
And if there's anything you guys want to us to talk about in particular, or do you have any stories you guys want to share with us, feel free to send us a message or write to us at our email. I think you can find that information on our sites and stuff. So until next time, peace out.
Have a great weekend.